When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Nathan Buckley is here on Tuesdays for Supergroup from 1 ton to 8 ton. Supergroups are the masters of Kubota excavators. Hello to you, Bucks.
Hello, Jared.
I'm well.
So terribly conflicted. The Damien Hardwick and Craig McRae on 360 last night. I mean, they didn't want to say, and they couldn't say what they believed around this incident because it's just impossible. Can you imagine how difficult it is for Toby Green in that moment with, you know, with a click of the fingers decision to make? You're playing a game of footy, you're going down, the opposition have momentum, you have an aerial ball there that you want to attack. Craig McRae references Maynard. Brad Scott mentions Wright. You are going to look after your own. It's a vexed issue, and it's murky at the moment. I don't know where it's going to go. My instinct is that the AFL will just, because there's head contact, you're going to go. But what else does Toby Green have to do in the game of footy? What are we asking him to consider?
Well, what do you think Green did wrong?
I think what he did wrong. I've got the, and this is where supposition and gut feel and knowing the game, a tribunal can't rule on that. They've tried to take intent out of it because it's hard to prove intent. My personal belief is that Toby Green had his eyes on the ball the whole time, knowing exactly where the Carlton body was going to be, that he braced knowing that he wasn't going to get to the drop of the ball, that he braced to protect himself and to minimise damage to himself. So his duty of care is primarily to him, and that he made contact to Boyd in that process. And I think if he wanted to run through him, he would have really run through him. My argument would be for GWS would be that that just doesn't meet the threshold of impact that warrants a suspension. So I thought I think he meant to make contact. I don't know. He didn't intend to get him high, but he did brace. So I think on all of that balance, he's guilty of that act, I think, of making contact, of not being able to get there two steps earlier to take the mark. But I don't think that this incident warrants or reaches the threshold of impact required for a suspension, in my view. But because there's head contact and because Boyd laid down for a little while to make sure that he got the free kick, it looks like he should go. But I don't agree with that.
What's the game asking? So the most interesting part tonight will be, what's the game asking Toby Green to do here? So it's...
Well, that is the real question, isn't it? And so what is the... So Cripps Archie, I think when he collected... we got 2 weeks initially, is that right?
Maybe one. Anyway, yeah. No,
but he got a couple of weeks and then he got off.
Yes.
Into the late in the year. I think that was in 22. That wasn't an aerial contest as such, but a ball had come out. It was a handball, and he went nearly identical in terms of. But I think Cripps' intention was to make contact, to make a statement in that moment of the game. Brisbane were dominant, and he's the captain, and he needed to make a statement. So 5 years ago, that was a really solid physical contest to go and win the ball and collect an opponent at the same time. He ultimately got off that. The other one, I think, Tom Lynch versus Alex Keith, he was sent to the tribunal. So the MRO put this as, we think this is 3+. He got off that because he said that he misjudged the flight of the ball and that he was simply trying to compete and then had to brace. He knocked Alex Keith out. I thought that Lynch's intent was, I'm not going to mark this. I'm going to hit a body. But he got off on that one. So there's a few to go back to, but I think what the game is asking all of its players to do at the moment is to say, if there is any chance that you're going to collect an opposition player or you're going to impact an opposition player with your body, then you are going to take responsibility for if you collect them high, more than just a free kick. And I think that's a tremendously difficult thing to consider in the game of footy, because I think we're trying to legislate all head contact out of it. And I don't think that's a possible... Well, it is possible, but it's not the same game.
I suspect in the end they're going to say, once you arrived, you had to still be attempting the mark or the spoil. And my question was, is that practical? If the player is coming headlong towards you. There's a big part of tonight is who made the contact inevitable. Is it Green's choice to leap and then ultimately turn? Or is it Boyd's trajectory where Green is then caught in a situation that he can't get out of?
Okay.
So I think the tribunal will have to determine, and there are two former players who are there to do that. You've played the game.
Well, I'm watching a series at the moment called Three Body Problem. Have you seen any of that?
I've started it, but I'm not far enough into it.
Yeah, well, there's so many jinx and changes, but the whole idea is it's a problem that can't be solved. That you're saying, is it Toby or is it Jordan Boyd who causes the contact?
Because it affects the duty.
You know
of
what
care.
Causes the contact? There's a third party in all, or the third object in all this, which is the ball. The ball is the focus, and Jordan Boyd is going back to mark the ball. Toby Green is coming forward to contest the ball. That is the object that we need to consider. And yes, there are going to be collisions. And when you're actually coming, I don't know, it was pretty close to 180. Toby Green's probably coming on about 150, 160 degree angle to Boyd. So that contact is going to be more significant than if he was coming at 90 degrees. So you are going to have players that are coming in opposite directions, either at ground level or in an aerial contest to contest the ball that happens to be between both of them. So they're just doing what the game is about, go and win the ball. Matthew Crouch did it last week, but he probably prioritised winning the body contest before going back to the ball. I thought Zach Butters was very fortunate because he actually, I think he was thinking body then ball. And Liberatore was thinking ball, 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 and he gave a free kick away to Todd Goldstein. So it's so vexed. You absolutely have to go at the ball 100%, I think, in today's game. That's what I would be coaching. If you go for the ball, you'll be fine. Peter Wright, if you're trying to mark that the whole way, you won't get suspended, like Lincoln McCarthy missed suspension with Warner in round one over in Perth. Yep. So the ball has to be your primary objective. And to do that, you need to be, if you just go at it, whatever happens to you or your opponent, you'll be okay, I think, for now.
Yeah. So this is I don't know how long this period will last, but it's a significant period. And I'm fascinated on the intellectual side of things, how this lands, where culpability is tonight, how you apportion it. If both players were perfectly reasonable in the way that they approach it, then is it an accident or is Green's turn at the end? Is that the disqualifier that earns you a suspension? And then the
level of impact.
Yeah. So this is one where I don't think the potential to cause serious injury should apply. It played out in its absolute totality. The collision happened. Boyd was fine. That's low.
Is there a part of the matrix that suggests that rough conduct can't, the least impact that rough conduct can be is medium?
No, I think this could have been graded as low.
It can be graded as low.
This could be downgraded to low potentially tonight. If you can beat if you could convincingly argue that this is all there is, there is no more, there's no potential to cause injury here, we have all the answers to the questions that were posed, and Boyd was fine. He got up, he took his free kick. That meets the threshold for low. So I think there's two possibilities tonight. And I don't know which way they go. I suspect the laws are against Green right now, as they've been reverse engineered out of last year to serve a greater purpose. And yes, maybe he's the collateral in it.
Even the two that I mentioned, the Lynch-Keith one and the Cripps, like those, they were head contact in similar situations. But now is not then. Then was only 12 months ago for Lynch.
And 24 months ago for Cripps. So I think the laws have been reversed engineered to have both of those as suspensions now.
And why? Because
players suffered head trauma. So Cripps beat his on a technicality, so that was through a 3-hour appeal.
That.
So that wasn't the true nature of football. That was a legal technicality.
Yeah.
The Lynch one was much more interesting. But I think
I think that was argued well, but my gut watching that was that he knew exactly what he was doing, because understand that there's such a thing as peripheral vision. I've got no doubt that Toby Green knew exactly where his combatant's body was coming from. I've got no doubt that is part of what you consider when you go to a contest. You need to consider for yourself where the main dangers are. If I've got a ground ball and I've got a player coming from my left, well, then I want to step onto my left foot so that my bum is on that side, my left shoulder is protecting my chin, and I'm actually getting between the oncoming player and the ball. I can do that. Players do that without looking at the player. Their focus is on the ball, and then they make the appropriate decisions with their body to give themselves the best chance to win it. That happens in the air as well. And I've got no doubt that Lynch knew exactly where the Western Bulldogs' body was and made contact with it when he was going for that mark 12 months ago. And I've got no doubt that Toby Green knew exactly, in terms of where a Carlton body was, that Jordan Boyd's body. I reckon he knew what was going, but he still needed to go and compete. Otherwise, you're going to have players step off, and the duty of care can't be with the opposition player. It can't be. The duty of care is going to be with you, the individual, to protect yourself. And Jordan Boyd was open. I think we saw Durden take a really good chest mark going back with the flight, and turned his chest and protect. His technique was brilliant. There was never going to be anything come from it. So whose duty of care is it to look after you on the football field? It should be yours.
They're big questions tonight for the tribunal. So that's our thoughts. You'll have yours. The Alltel open line, 1-300-736-736. Alltel, the Better Business Telco, and the 40 Winks Temper Text. I will curate a selection of these as we go. 0433 98 11 16. The difference is temper. Nathan Buckley gets us underway on a Tuesday. He's here for Supergroups. First picked every week for Kubota Excavators. Supergroups.com.au. Nathan Buckley is in the studio. We'll broaden our conversation in a moment. We could take calls all morning. That we'll put another block aside after Jacob Wiedering joins me in the next hour. Let's ping through three as a bit of a straw poll here. Nick is in Moonda. Bucks, hello to you, Nick.
Yeah, good morning, guys. A couple of good points, Nick. If I can. If they're saying they want players to actually go for the ball, isn't that going to increase the risk of front-on collisions, which I think would be even worse? And secondly, for those of you that watch Formula One, every now and then there's a collision between two drivers where there's no malice between either one, there wasn't really any fault, and they call it a racing incident. Is that something that could be, malice? And look, I'm a Carlton supporter, I feel sorry for Boyd, but I just think, is it just a racing incident? Is it a marking incident that couldn't be avoided? There was no malice towards, by any party.
Yeah, we still had instances last year which enshrined the accident in the game. It's just whether this ends up meeting that threshold. So it is possible, Nick, to still get what you're describing there, the racing incident, and it's for the tribunal to determine tonight whether this has those markers, whether it meets the parameters. Andy's on the road. Andy, welcome.
Good morning, boys. How are you going? Look, as far as I'm concerned, there's going to be so many things that are going to be dissected tonight in relation to Toby, and it's going to be about intent and culpability. But for me, the burning question above all is, what was his options?
Yeah, and that is a big part of tonight. Once you're in that position, what is the game telling Toby Green to do?
I think this text sums up for me. If you put yourself in a vulnerable position, the duty of care must meet in the middle. Toby could have absolutely run through the Carlton player and really hurt him, but he did show a duty of care. And I think that that's something that if I was in the Giants' shoes, I would go as well. That this contact could have been a lot worse if it weren't for the consideration that our player showed. That would be an argument that I don't know whether it would get a hearing, but I think that and the low impact would be the way that I would be trying to get our player off, because you're always trying to get your player off.
Definitely.
You are biased. You are biased.
This was when Chris Fagan was being quizzed about Charlie Cameron last week, he said, well, of course we used everything at our disposal. Yep. That's the job.
Yep.
And then it's for the independent arbiters to decide whether that carries weight or not. The club doesn't bear any responsibility for that.
No. And as when we hear Craig McRae mention Maynard, you hear Brad Scott mention Peter Wright, even after the fact, they will say that their players were hard done by, because they don't want them. They will own their actions behind closed doors, but they don't want them to be missing games of football.
Thanks, Andy. Vince is in Blair Gowrie. Hello to you, Vince.
Yeah, surprised actually for editorial, and I'm just wondering if there's a tiny little bias there because he is one of your regulars. Should we be looking back? So I put this to you. Should we be putting, which would be very disappointing, a stop to the players running with the ball to take a mark, which is something that's been inherent in our game and makes it so great?
It's a fair point, Vince. Can you imagine what it would be like if Tom Stewart couldn't run back 5 steps to take a mark as a forward was 10 metres clear on a lead behind him? He's done that, he would have done that 100 times. Sicily's done 100 times. Darcy Moore, Sam Taylor, the intercept mark is a massive part of the game, and sometimes it requires courage. But I don't think we would ever do that, because it would be a significant change to the psyche of a player and what you're doing. I don't know how you would impose it, but we are actually asking ball players to do something like that, to change the way they approach the football, to consider their opposition and any possible high contact that might happen from their actions. We are asking, I mean, I reckon umpiring is the toughest job on the field, but I reckon playing, making a decision coming into a contest, either ground or aerial, is becoming just as confusing for a player as adjudicating the rules can be for an umpire.
Vince, thank you for your call. At the Alltel open line, get 3 months free by switching your 1300 number to Alltel. And I'll go through a proper selection of texts as we go. But Gavin from Albury's got this perspective. I was at the match on Saturday, and I feel we had a real-time pub test when Toby got the ball 5 minutes later after the collision in front of 40,000 very loud Carlton fans. There were a few boos, but the majority didn't, as there was no malice or recklessness from Toby. I was not one of them booing and feel a fine is appropriate, along with the free kick paid at the time.
Bill sent a text. Regardless of what Nathan says, he keeps coming back to the recently retired player/coach, doesn't really appreciate head knocks and doesn't want the game to change. That's an ignorant comment, Bill, because you can't speak to me about my intent. I had Nathan Murphy, who was a player that I coached, for a long period of time, who just kept going back with a flight like Jordan Boyd did. And if you look at Jordan Boyd right at the end, he's actually misjudged the ball. It's a metre away from him and he's really reaching for it, which puts him in a really vulnerable position. He could have been badly hurt had Toby Green gone at that contest harder. Nathan Murphy kept knocking himself out by doing that. We tried to coach and teach him to protect himself, but his instinct and his desperation in the contest was always as such that he kept getting caught. I'm not separate to or have no feeling for the players and head contact and the trauma that comes from it. I think we've done a great job to reduce it. Trying to adjudicate it out of the game entirely is folly.
Nathan Buckley with his thoughts for supergroups from 1 ton to 8 ton. Supergroups are the masters of Kubota excavators. So the last element is John's making the case for the AFL, and it's forthright and it's straightforward and it's easily understood. Toby never once went for the mark. He should be suspended. His options are going for the mark or protecting himself by using his arms, not by bumping. Pretty simple. He didn't go for the mark and guilty as charged. That's the prosecution
case. That's exactly how the AFL will approach it. And there's elements of that that I can't disagree with. So I think it's in the margins. And if we think it's in the margins and you watch a lot of footy, you have strong opinions on duty of care to the player, on how the game's played, so do I. And we've got no pressure on us, but the players are making these decisions in split seconds. We need to consider that.
Josh Rochelli spoke yesterday to Channel 9 in Adelaide as he had those two moments on Friday night, which he knew, never mind everybody else watching and out on the ground, he knew this was how he fronted up to it yesterday.
It's a tough one. They've definitely repeated in my head over and over again this whole weekend. And just a couple of little marking errors that... The first one was just more about I thought someone was coming right over the top of me and completely, honestly, wasn't brave enough in that situation, which, yeah, I'm going to have to take that and move on and learn from it. And the other one was just a complete misjudge. The ball just sailed over and I thought it was coming a bit closer. I think literally a minute or two later, I went back with the mark and I think I got cleaned up. So I still ask myself the question right now, what was I doing? I think it was just that... external pressure, that those thoughts going through your mind at that time. It's just about practicing those moments. Definitely going to do a few of them this week.
That's a pretty admirable way to approach it publicly, isn't it?
Well, that's the way to earn respect, isn't it? I mean, we do it by our actions, but we also do it by owning our actions that are not quite, you know, what we'd espouse to be. I thought all credit, all power to the young man. And what he spoke about is a very real situation that you find yourself in the football field. Everyone has found themselves in that situation. There might have been a player coming over the top. There might have been contact coming the other way, and I wasn't quite brave enough. That's a great way to put it and a great way to enunciate it, and I'm going to practice it and be better next time. But when you put it under the backdrop of, this head contact, head trauma, the idea of courage and throwing yourself on the boot, throwing yourself back in the pack. I mean, that definitely has shifted and changed, which is good because we want players to play the game hard and fair, but we also need to be doing it with, with a duty of care for self and a great technique. And yeah, that's, it's the juxtaposition of those two situations, Jordan Boyd's and Josh Rochelli should not be ignored.
Nathan Buckley, a bit of the art of coaching for us on a Tuesday morning. This is Waitley for Hyundai. Drive away in a Hyundai Staria load from $49,490.
We've had a lot of challenging draw. Next week it'll be our third travel in 4 weeks. This will be our second 5-day break, coming off a 6-day break. So, and we're relatively young. So yeah, we're working to find consistency. And hopefully as the schedule settles, we'll just get into a groove where we can train a bit more and work on our deficiencies. So I'm a little bit nervous about tonight, to be fair.
That was the preemptive strike from Ross Lyon, and then it instantly materialised when the game started.
There's so much to unpack with that. And I think we spoke about it on the night, and then we did address it briefly last night on the couch. I think that... he's right. This is a real thing. And you spoke to Craig McRae and Dame Harvey, that the opportunity to have time in your week, not just to educate off a screen in regards to reviews and like meetings these days, less is more. So if you can show 4 or 5 edits of education and then, 15 edits of our one percenters or the things we love, like bang, or to music, a 3 or 4 minute video which shows all of these edits, bang, 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 bang. That's great. That's a feel good, which is important. But then this aspect of our game, his 3 or 4 edits about it, that's one part of it. If you can't go out for 20 minutes and actually feel, move around the oval with your teammates and actually get a sense of communicating around that specific learning point to reinforce it, it impacts. It takes a little bit off, how deep that message sinks in for your next, your next week or your next month. Even more so with a young group who needs to be reminded about the things that you might have learnt 4 weeks ago. If you're a more experienced group with great leadership, that's probably more ingrained. So the 5 day breaks, the 6 day breaks, the travel, the focus on recovery over time on field, which is a very real thing, because if you're not physically right, it doesn't matter how good you are tactically. It's a very real thing. Ross Lyon's going through it with a youngish group, and they will have players that will drop off if you don't recover. And if you can't implant these messages and reinforce the learning on field over a course of maybe 2 or 3 weeks because you've got travel or short breaks, it does have an impact. And then there's the aspect of putting it on the table. Like, you just rarely hear a coach actually put it, like, especially Ross Lyon. It's not an excuse. There are reasons, but our instinct is that's going to be perceived. That's an excuse. The players are going to see that as a way out. I think the coaching these days is actually putting the facts on the table, actually addressing it before the contest and saying, so this is our challenge. What are we going to do about this? Because we can't change it, but what's in our control? Doesn't always work, but I think that's a better way to go about it.
One of the other elements out of the weekend was teamsmanship, and Collingwood absolutely personified this, and there were questions to Port Adelaide about whether they failed to meet that marker.
They're not a selfish group that play for themselves, but when games go against you like that, it can sometimes look that way. We did some uncharacteristic things, even in the forward line.
When we look so unselfish and we're trying to get our teammates like involved, it flows through the whole team.
Yes.
And to see how much energy we get from it, you celebrate it, it's so infectious.
That was Jamie Elliott in the post-match meeting for Collingwood and Chad Corns addressing it in the aftermath.
I think we should separate, funnily enough, unselfishness from selfishness. They're not counter opposites. Unselfishness is that want to, share it with your teammates, and the risk that you take from the extra handball or two is a small risk to take for the payoff at the other side. I think I noticed it with Adelaide sort of early in the season. Rochelle, Rankin, their desperation to get the ball on boot out of stoppage or out of congestion, within 30 metres of goal, when there's a feedback option, there's a quick hands option there that will give their teammate a 10%, 15% better chance of being able to snap that goal with a metre more space. And it's not selfish, it's just, sometimes it's desperation to do what I know I'm there to do. But I think that if you take the instinct of players just to find a teammate in the best position, and then you coach that from the opposition goals all the way to your goals, I think that's when you see the best offense. It's the easy decisions made consistently to share the ball. Oh, he's in the right position. Bang. I don't even think about it. I'm at ground level. I give the handball up to someone who can see a bit more of the ground than I can at this particular instance. And those decisions, those really simple decisions to share the ball and then bring each other into the game, that's the difference between being clunky and being really, really clean. And had that feeling that Jamie Elliott spoke about of, it's infectious.
Yeah. And then there are the moments where a player chooses to kick the goal themselves rather than give it off. So Rochelle had one of those on Friday night where he could have given the hand pass into the goal square. He took the shot himself. There was the Essendon one, Langford and Stringer the week before.
Yes. Yeah, they're ever present. And, I mean, when you watch that, what do you think? When you see Langford and Stringer, do you think that we've made a bigger issue of that than it is? Because it can be significant, or it can mean nothing.
Yeah. So I think when you see it powerfully in Bobby Hill, you go, that's what it looks like.
And when Geelong played that way for a long time.
So I can look back on. So I called the two games Friday, Saturday, and never mind Rochelle with the bravery issue. I'd be addressing the, give that hand pass in the square.
Yeah.
That this is what being part of a team is. Don't worry about getting it. You felt you wanted the goal and needed the goal for your own game. Don't worry about that. Give it over. And then we watched Hill do it 4 times.
Yeah, and Rochelle's might have been, I'm going to finish this.
Yeah.
It's not, yep. That's why I don't think it's a selfishness as such. It's just not being overtly unselfish. there's a scale of these things, but it jarred. You could see it. And same with the Willie Rioli, Darcy Byrne Jones one. So in the end, as I said, the risk of the extra touch that might not come off, you know, 1 in 20, it might not come off, but the risk of the extra touch to make it an 85% chance or even 100% chance of scoring the goal against a 65-70, well, I think that's worth paying. And Stevie J and Matty Stokes took it to the next level way back when.
We'll get a set up for Anzac Day from Nathan Buckley next. Tom Morris is confirming that the Richmond coach, Adam Uze, has Dylan Grimes and Jacob Hopper returning for tomorrow night's game against Melbourne. He considered the club erred in selecting an underdone Dion Prestia earlier this year. The mid is still a couple of weeks away. Nathan Buckley for Supergroups, first picked every week for Kubota Excavators, supergroups.com.au. It's a special round of footy. It begins tomorrow night at the MCG, and then the high point is Thursday. Nathan Buckley, does it hold a special, you'll be there, does it hold a special place in your heart?
Oh, look, it is an awesome occasion on the calendar. It's one that we've all got circled, whether you're a Collingwood and Essendon player, coach, staff member or supporter. I think that most of the AFL community want to be engaged or involved in it in some shape or form. It's become a very special one over the last 30 years.
And it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be. Look, I've been so impressed with Essendon. And they're like, it swings and roundabouts. There's a couple of close ones, and even last week, week before, been able to get over the top of the Dogs. So they've played a lot of good footy. They've had a lot of outs as well, and Collingwood have got their mojo back. So it proves to be a great football contest as well.
Would you play all the talls? Sando's got the strategy session tomorrow. I'm going to ask him to focus on that. Would you play Goldstein, Draper and Wright? Which is what Essendon is going to do.
Well, you're playing Jones as well.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. I don't think I would. But given personnel and availability, that might be their best course of action now. It might not be where they think they're going to, the makeup of what their best 23 is going to be in 2 months' time. But for now, the continuity of having those guys and letting Wright stay as a forward for the majority of the time might be the way to go.
Enjoy your footy.
You too, mate.
Good to see you. Nathan Buckley for Supergroups from 1 tonne to 8 tonne. Supergroups are the masters of Kubota excavators.